Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today we continue our sermon series, The Radical Ideology of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of isms and ideologies in our society right now. How many of them reflect the teachings of Jesus Christ? Please join us now for the message, God So Loves the World. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer. I'm the senior pastor.
I'm Wesley McCall. I'm the music director.
And we want to welcome everyone to worship with us today. And you will notice that our Wesley is back safe and sound from his exposure to COVID. And so let's continue to remember to keep our teachers and educational staff and our students in our prayers as they continue to deal with repeated exposures. As usual, we're going to be taking live prayer requests during our broadcast. So if you have a joy or a concern or you would like a blessing, just post that to Facebook and we'll get to that later in the after the sermon when we do our prayers. If you haven't done so far this week, I invite you at this time to make an offering for the ministry of this church. You can do this on our website, tumcd.org. Or you can do this on the Church Center app. And I might add, on our Church Center app, we also have now a line so that you can give to this month's communion rail offering. It's going to the Sager Brown Depot in Baldwin, Louisiana. And Sager Brown is the supply hub for the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And it's from there that they send out relief supplies to all the places that are experiencing things like our wildfires or these hurricanes that keep slamming our coast. And normally this church takes a mission trip to Sager Brown every year to help put these supplies together, but we weren't able to this year because of the pandemic and the lockdown. So let's give them a little bit of extra money so they can still send those supplies to the people who so desperately need them. Our church study on social principles continues on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock via Zoom. If you'd like to join in, just drop me a line and I will get you that Zoom invitation. And our connection groups on Sunday morning also continue to meet. We have the UM Disciplines class via Skype at 9:30, Talk to Mo Tanner. And we have the book study class via Zoom, Contact Evelyn Glass. And right now, they're reading Reconstructing the Gospel, Finding Freedom from Slaveholder Religion by Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove. So now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer with our centering psalm.
Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his commands. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all of his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Our opening prayer for this morning. God of steadfast love and mercy, remind us once again that in Jesus Christ, everything has become new. For far too often, things seem as they always have been. Old habits die hard. Difficult situations linger. Failures from our past linger. We look for your promised newness, but cannot see it. Speak to us again of your new creation. Open our eyes to its presence in our lives. Call us forth to claim this newness, that we may be healed and made whole. Amen.
Amen. And now, even though we cannot be together in the same space, we are together in the same time. So I offer to you, peace be with you.
And also with you. Prayer for illumination. Lord, we come broken. Give us a story of hope. We come fearful. Give us a story of peace. We come cynical. Give us a story of faith. We come empty. Fill us with your word. Liberate us so that we may have ears to listen for the story of life. Amen.
Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And our second reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, born to a wealthy cloth merchant in late 12th century Italy, the man who would eventually come to be known as Saint Francis, he could have lived out his life in luxury. But instead, he kept giving away his father's profits to the beggars in the streets, and he nursed the lepers there where he lived in his hometown of Assisi, Italy. In desperation, Francis' father took him to court in front of the bishops to try and prevent him from giving away any more of his profits. As the proceedings became more and more heated, Francis suddenly stood up and renounced his family and his fortune. And then, as all the court was watching, he began to take off the very expensive clothes that he was wearing. He folded them up, and he handed them to his very astonished father. And then he walked out in nothing but his underwear. He was now in his mid-20s, and Francis from then on became a beggar. Devoting himself to a life of poverty, he started to acquire followers and petitioned Pope Innocent III to found a new order of monks. This fellowship eventually became the Order of the Friars Minor, or as we know them now as the Franciscans, and Francis continued to attract followers and eventually send out missionaries throughout all of Europe. Years later, Francis was in the middle of a 40-day fast when he had a vision of Christ. And during this vision, he received the stigmata, that is, he began to manifest the crucifixion wounds of Christ in his own hands and in his own feet. Well, ironically, he died a few weeks later from the complications of his stigmata, as well as from a debilitating eye infection. He died in the year 1226 at the age of 45, and he was singing a psalm as he passed. 2 years later, Pope Gregory IX pronounced him a saint and laid the foundation stone for the Basilica of St. Francis in Assisi, Italy. Francis' affinity for animals was legend. He was the first person ever in history to set up a live nativity scene utilizing real animals. And he used the straw-filled manger as the altar for the Christmas Mass. For the most part, Francis was a vegetarian, but he would eat chicken feet, because otherwise that's a part of the animal that would go unused and go to waste. Whenever he came across a fish or an animal that was caught in a trap, he would set them free, and he would warn them to never let themselves be caught again. In one famous story, Francis was traveling with some companions when he saw this large grouping of birds from various different species. Leaving his friends, Francis approached the flock and began to preach the gospel. The birds listened patiently, and when he had finished, they began to sing and to flap their wings. From that day onward, Francis endeavored to encourage all creatures to love and praise their Creator, and he regularly preached to all kinds of animals and birds and even reptiles. Francis realized the deep abiding spirituality of all creation, especially that of animals. Indeed, animals can be a portal to a whole other realm of spiritual depth. Animals put us in touch with the non-verbal, intuitive parts of our personality, and they can take us to a place that's beyond words, beyond doctrines or theological formulations. In other words, animals can be great spiritual teachers. Well, as I shared with you last week, last Sunday, October 4th, was the feast day of St. Francis. And St. Francis is one of the most beloved saints in the entire saintly pantheon. Even the most hardcore Protestant knows who St. Francis is and is aware that he is the patron saint of animals. Well, about 10 years ago, it was popular on the internet to feature memes of funny church signs. The one that I remember the most was actually a series of battling church signs from two churches that were located across the street from one another. One a Catholic church and one a Cumberland Presbyterian church. And so imagine in your mind these battling church signs just across the street from one another. And it was the Catholic church that started it with this sign: "All dogs go to heaven.
Only humans go to heaven. Read the Bible.
God loves all his creatures, dogs included.
Dogs don't have souls, and this is not open for debate.
Catholic dogs go to heaven. Presbyterian dogs can talk to their pastor.
Converting to Catholicism does not magically grant your dog a soul.
Free dog souls with conversion.
Dogs are animals. There aren't any rocks in heaven either.
All rocks go to heaven." I think this Catholic congregation would have made St. Francis proud. You see, what St. Francis wanted was not only to preach the animals, he spread peace and harmony throughout all creation and wanted that to be among all of God's creatures. Francis wanted the world that is illustrated in the prophecy of Isaiah that Wesley read, a world where the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lying and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Well, a few weeks ago, we discussed the extraordinary 8th chapter of Romans, of Paul's letter, and there we find this passage: "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." Well, right now, decay, including sickness, disease, aging, death, they're all part of creation and part of our created existence. In fact, just prior to our worship broadcast, our worship crew here was discussing what ages actually encompassed middle age. And there were a variety of opinions. But according to Paul, it is through us, the children of God, that God is working to restore creation. God's redemptive activity is not just about restoring humankind, but restoring all of creation itself. Now, this restoration is reflected when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, kingdom come is actually a long-term project in which we should be participating every day. And this is all related to another biblical concept, and that's the concept of shalom. Now, many of us know that shalom means peace, and it's the Hebrew word for both hello and goodbye. But the word means so much more than just that English equivalent. Shalom means peace, but it also means harmony, health, wholeness, completeness, well-being, tranquility. Shalom exists at that crossroads of mercy and justice. And it's the answer to the question of what God desires for humanity and for creation. God desires for us peace and harmony and health and wholeness and completeness, well-being and tranquility. Shalom is where the kingdom of God is found. And to build up this kingdom, to spread the shalom of God, that is the mission of the church. The kingdom will be made complete when shalom has permeated all creation. But there's a popular interpretation of Scripture that I believe is at odds with God's desire for shalom. And it's an interpretation that's actually fairly unique to American Christianity. Now, in this sermon series, we've been exploring various belief systems or ideologies that either contradict the teachings of Jesus or advocate for overly simplistic interpretation of the Bible. 2 weeks ago, we looked at fundamentalism, characterized by a wooden, literal reading of the Bible. It's a quest for certainty. Some Christians end up descending into dogmatism, however, dogmatism and judgmentalism in their quest for certainty. It's ironic that in their quest to be faithful, the fundamentalist quest for certainty is actually an exercise in the opposite of faith. Faith meaning a relationship of trust in God that can withstand the uncertainties of life. Then last week we took a look at forms of tribalism such as nationalism or racism. In a quest for belonging, some Christians feel they must reject and exclude others that are not like themselves. So ironically, in an attempt to be faithful, tribalists can end up acting in ways that defy the great commandment, love God and love your neighbor who is created in the image of God. Well, this week's ideology sometimes goes by the name of dispensationalism. It is a highly negative and dystopian worldview that is narrowly focused on biblical end times prophecies. It sees the second coming of Christ, the end of the world, and the last judgment as being impending and imminent. Like other ideologies, dispensationalism speaks to some basic human needs. Like tribalism, it can promote a sense of belonging, that you are, to the exclusion of most other people, among the chosen few who really understands what's going on. It can also appeal to those who feel that they have been mistreated by the world and they long to see their idea of justice meted out to those whom they feel have wronged them. Though there are variations on this, in the most popular form of dispensationalism, it's believed that sometime soon, all true Christians will be raptured, followed by a 7-year tribulation period characterized by a variety of natural and man-made disasters and where the Antichrist will come to power. Now, to be raptured means that true Christians living at the end of the world will suddenly leave the earth and will be allowed to go into heaven without physically dying first. This worldview sees humanity in the world as growing increasingly more evil and more opposed to God as time goes on. Since the world will end soon, there's no need to be concerned about the condition of the planet or any concern about working for social justice. Our sole concern needs to be our own individualistic salvation. We must make sure that we have, as the saying goes, accepted Jesus as our personal Savior so that we can make sure that we get to heaven. But this view is at odds with, as Paul wrote in Romans, God's desire to redeem all creation. And Jesus was clear that how we love our neighbor is paramount to pleasing God. And one way to love your neighbor is to make sure that the planet that your neighbor lives on is conducive to shalom, that the condition of this world promotes peace and harmony and health, wholeness, completeness, well-being, and tranquility for humankind as well as for all God's creatures. Another way to love our neighbor is to make sure that the hungry are fed and the naked are clothed and the sick and imprisoned are taken care of. Jesus let us know in his parable of the sheep and goats that these are the things, these are the criteria by which the nation shall be judged. The various forms of dispensationalism promote, as one theologian wrote, passivity, detachment, apathy, and escapism. And instead, God calls us to action, engagement, and involvement. God calls us to ministries of reconciliation. As Wesley read from 2 Corinthians, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors of Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Not just Christians, not just human beings. God was reconciling the world. God's love and redemptive activity is not limited to the human race. And this idea can actually be found throughout Scripture. In Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, there in the very first chapter of the Bible, right after God creates the world, God declares all things in creation to be very good. Jesus says in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, that God so loved the world. And the Greek word for world here is cosmos. In other words, God so loved not just the human race, not just planet Earth. God loved the cosmos. God loved everything, the entire cosmos, the entire universe, and everybody and everything in it. And that is why God sent his only begotten Son. And then finally in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, there toward the very end of that book, we see that we spend eternity not in heaven, but in the city of the New Jerusalem, on a newly created earth. There it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the throne of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.'" Creation itself will be fully reconciled to its creator. So what began in the garden in Eden will find its completion in the New Jerusalem. In the meantime, we're ambassadors of Christ, proclaiming the good news of God's reconciliation with the world. And so just as St. Francis prayed, may we be found to be instruments of God's peace. Amen.
Thank you.
I love that arrangement. Thank you, Jenna and Luke, for that. Now we come to the time in our service where we lift up our joys and concerns to the Lord. And we want to really be keeping the Platts family in our prayers, Tim and Rachel and Tristan. They've already lost this year alone Tim's brother and mother. And then yesterday morning, Rachel's uncle passed away. And I believe she also still has another uncle who remains in hospice. And so we want to really keep the Platts family in our prayers. We want to particularly pray for her uncle's wife, Aunt Alice, as she deals with this tremendous loss in her life. And we want to also be keeping the Dodge family in the loss of Kay Carter, keeping Chris and Richard in our prayers as well. And so for all of those that are grieving, as if I said, Lord, in your mercy, respond, hear our prayer. So for all those who are in grief, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We also want to be praying for those who are sick and or recovering. We want to keep Sally Anderson's dad, Harold, in our prayers. He has heart issues and he has had ongoing dementia issues. And I know Sally has just spent so much time praying about the best way to take care of her daddy. And so I want to be praying for Harold because he has heart issues right now and surgery is just not an option in this case. So prayers for Harold and prayers for Sally and her family as well as they deal with the best way to deal with these issues. So Lord, in your mercy. We want to pray for Jan Knowles, who has several issues coming up. She has ongoing eye issues, and so she has another eye appointment coming up, but she also has a driver's license renewal coming up as well. And she also has a car repair that she needs help paying with. So let's pray for Jan's eye appointment, for her driver's license renewal, and her car repair, but also she sent in a thanks for a successful dental appointment. So for Jan, Lord, in your mercy. We want to offer up continued prayers for Linda Howard. So Lord, in your mercy. We want to be praying for a friend of Dana Dempsey. His name is Gary Pickle. And we want to pray for an ease of pain. He has, he's been hospitalized a month with stage 3 multiple myeloma. He has drugs that are causing disorientation that caused him to fall, where he broke both of his arms, 2 ribs, and his pelvis in 2 places. And with the cancer right now, surgery is just not an option. But because also of the COVID scare, his wife Cheryl cannot visit, nor can he receive any cards or flowers or visitors of any kind, only calls. And so right now they're looking for a hospice that can take him. And so we want to pray then for Gary and Cheryl and for the medical team as they try to find what is best going for Gary forward in the future. And also we just pray for an ease of his pain. His pain is physical and emotional and spiritual, and I'm sure Cheryl's pain is very real as well. So for Gary and Cheryl and Gary's medical team, Lord, in your mercy. And we also want to be lifting up a prayer for Dana's brother, Jeff, who has been hospitalized with COVID. So we pray for Jeff's healing and pray that this hospitalization does not have to last long. So for Jeff and others suffering from COVID, Lord, in your mercy. We want to be continuing to pray for those in our congregation and our congregational family that are recovering. Bill Smades and Jerry Rogers, Evelyn Tanner, Kevin Hennings, Mary Wood and my sister Lane, who had surgery for her ankle and now has a new complication. So for all of these, we pray, Lord, in your mercy. But we also want to be praying for those things that we find in the news. We want to pray for all the people of Wolf City, Texas, as they face yet another death of a black man at the hands of law enforcement officers. So we want to be praying for Wolf City, for the family and friends of Jonathan Price, and for the Texas Rangers that are trying to do an investigation, just for all of those involved. And we just pray that God somehow, out of this tragedy, can make some good take place. And in the meantime, that the wonderful example of just being a great person that evidently Jonathan was, that that example can still be in effect there in Wolf City and among all of his family and friends. And we also want to be lifting up Jacob Blake, who was shot by police several, I think, weeks ago at this point. But he has now entered rehab for spinal cord injury. And the doctor said it'll be a miracle if he ever walks again. But let's pray for that miracle, that maybe this can happen. So for the family and friends of Jonathan Price, for Jacob Blake, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We want to continue to pray for the president and all of those around him, for continued recovery and safety from COVID. So Lord, in your mercy. And we definitely want to be keeping those who are affected by the wildfires, the firefighters, and for all of those who are now affected by hurricanes, including this latest one that just arrived this week. So, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We also, as usual, want to be lifting up our offering that we've received this week so it may do the work of the Lord. So, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
But on a good side, today is also National Coming Out Day. So I want to lift up a prayer of both concern, but also a prayer of thanksgiving for all members of the LGBTQ community, and pray for further understanding in our society, for further, gosh, it's even more than I can even articulate. I just want to pray for everyone in the LGBTQ community and for all the allies, and pray that our society continues to make strides in acceptance and inclusion. So for all of those here on National Coming Out Day, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
I want to end with a prayer. It's a prayer that was written by Albert Schweitzer, and it was his prayer concerning animals. And so hear this prayer of Albert Schweitzer. Hear our humble prayer, O God, for our friends, the animals, especially for animals who are suffering, for any that are hunted or lost or deserted or frightened or hungry, for all that must be put to death. We entreat for them all thy mercy and pity. And for those who deal with them, we ask a heart of compassion and gentle hands and kindly words. Make us ourselves to be true friends to animals, and so to share the blessings of the merciful. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Just to remind you that recordings of our service can be found on Facebook, on our website, tumcd.org, but the best edition of our recording can be found on the podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure, and you can get that wherever you find podcasts. Also to remind you, I forgot to do this at the beginning of the service, but even though for now we are going to keep this format for our worship service until we can get our new tech equipment fully installed, we now have the permission of the bishop to have people in person in worship. So if you want to come be a part of our worship service and be here in the sanctuary with us, you are more than welcome. In fact, we would love to see you, because I really miss seeing you guys, and I really miss seeing your faces out there. So if you want, you are welcome to come any Sunday and be a part of our worship here in person. And so now receive this benediction. Go forth as one who has been made a new creation. Go forth as a people reconciled to God. Go forth as ambassadors who bear the message of reconciliation. And may the Lord make you an instrument of God's peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, love your neighbor, wear a mask. We hope you enjoyed today's service and that you experienced God's blessings. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. We'll wrap up our sermon series, The Radical Ideology of Jesus Christ. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead and stay safe. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.